Explore, listen, and immerse yourself with 1010 Podcasts.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Celtic Exchange. This is Tino, and tonight I'm joined by Miff and Chris. In 2021 alone, Celtic have now played 12 league games. Of those games, we've won just 6, we've drawn 3, and as of last night's shambles at Ross County, have now also lost 3. This, of course, is separate to all the nonsense we were served up in the first half of the season. Tony Mowbray didn't survive that kind of form, Ronnie Dyla certainly wouldn't have survived it, and even Brendan Rodgers would have been politely asked to leave if he was producing similar results. So why is Neil Lennon seemingly untouchable in his role as Celtic manager? Is there something the fans aren't being told? Because last week's statement from the chairman told us absolutely nothing we didn't already know. Nothing at Celtic Park adds up anymore. However, as always, we'll do our best to make sense of the nonsense. Welcome, lads. Sure, you've both had a stunning weekend after that Sunday night horror show. Miff, how are you feeling about it all just now?
Yeah, well, done the post-match. I was contacted by a few friends just to see if I was all right because I was sounding a wee bit angry. And I don't really feel any different. I think the ongoing support of Lennon and the lack of action for the board is baffling, to be quite honest with you. And the longer it goes on, I think the more you just come to the conclusion that we haven't planned or prepared for this. And I don't really think MD knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Staff, board, and I would say that's now trickled down onto the players as we saw for the performance last night.
Yeah. And I think we'll go into it in much more depth, I'm sure, but you've mentioned a toxicity around the club and around Neil Lennon's, you know, ongoing role within the club. What about yourself, Chris? What do you feel about it?
Well, thanks for having us on. It's really good to be here. I wish it was in better circumstances, mind you, but I'm feeling very low, very, very low today. Same sentiment I think's felt across the obviously support base. I don't know really where we're going. That's a problem. Concerning in the past when you've been through bad runs with particular managers, that's obviously the manager that's sacrificed, but today it's just clear as day that again it's lack of direction from a board now, because nobody's got an answer. We don't know what the direction is. The club, as you said, there was no communication. Well, the communication last week told us absolutely nothing. Now the concern is well, seasons was gone a long time ago, but again, now we're just going from one catastrophe to another, and it's
sort of take, sort of take. Communication's a big one for me because, you know, football teams will, you know, success will come and go at different times. You realise that trebles aren't going to go on forever, and, you know, quadruple trebles phenomenal, but it was going to stop at some point. And, you know, lo and behold, the form took a turn for the worse. But it's just, initially it's the lack of communication from the club, and then it's when they do bring something out under duress, you're just getting fed nonsense. And as I said in the intro there, the statement we got last week from the chairman, it was loads and loads of words, but it didn't really say much at all. What's your take on that, Miff?
I think it just begs the question, what kind of club do we want to be? Because I think it's maybe shown, well, it's not maybe, I think it has shown that there's almost an element of disconnect between what the board seem to think the fans are thinking and what we are actually thinking. The protests against Ross County were kind of written off as the original Ross County defeat, I hasten to add. Unbelievable.
The OG been this of year. Ross County defeats.
The League Cup defeat to Ross County, that was kind of put off as a kind of knee-jerk reaction to the fans getting put out of cup competition for the first time in, you know, so long. And but that wasn't the context of the protest. The protest was about the level of performance that we'd been seeing gradually decline over the course of the start of the season. And it was concerning. Many times when you're watching Celtic, you're sitting watching the game and you're going, this is murder. Mm-hmm. And then it was a Jetty scored up at Dundee United. You know, Griffiths come up and Kamala come off the bench, scored at St Johnson. That's getting you to jail. You know, the league could have been finished. Even Rangers beat us in September. The league could have been finished then. But, we managed to kind of scrape through performances against Ferencvaros, some of the tactical decisions that were getting made, the shape of the team, regular questions getting asked about that. COVID was used as an excuse then. We were affected in our national break. But all these things, the board have obviously been quite comfortable sitting with that as an excuse. You know, the whole COVID thing, the way that we're needing to train, the way that we're needing to travel to games, all those things, well, that doesn't really suit us. The fans aren't there. That doesn't really suit Celtic. So, oh, that's a shame. We can just write this season off. Well, no, I'm afraid not. You're still responsible for the performances in the park, the results, whilst that's the manager and the players that need to be responsible for that ultimately. But then it starts to go up the chain when the results aren't good enough and the performances aren't good enough, and they haven't been for a considerable period of time. This isn't us acting like spoiled brats because we've not won the league. It's far from that. You know, if we were still in contention, if we're still 8 points away for Rangers at this point in time, say, there wouldn't be people calling for Lennon's head. But we've watched the team regress markedly, month on month. And even that 5-game winning run we went on, I think we played well for maybe the odd half here and there. St Mirren away was probably the best overall performance. There's no conviction, there's no control of the game. It's just so poor. And we as fans, a lot of whom have paid £500 not to set foot in Celtic Park, to see a manager after a defeat not give an interview to Celtic TV when the fans have paid for it and he's went and gave an interview at the BBC. I'm sorry, there's just so much about the club that's wrong just now. And ultimately, that's been confirmed today with absolutely nothing.
Radio silence once again. I'll take you just back to a word you mentioned a few times there, Miff. The word responsibility and taking responsibility, you know, for the various roles within the club, whether that's at the very top, you know, through Neil Lennon and his coaching staff and even down to players. What we seem to have created as a club this season and potentially at some point last season is a bit of an excuse culture. If it's not COVID, it's something else. It's injuries, it's lack of this, lack of that and lack of the next thing. There's so many defeats this season, but if you look at some of the more recent ones, for example, St Mirren at Celtic Park or even last night at Ross County, we're all out of excuses. We've had pretty much full-strength squads to go up to these teams. And if you look on paper at Celtic and what St Mirren and Ross County, with absolute respect, can offer, it shouldn't even be a contest of any sorts. So now Neil Lennon can't say, we've just been unlucky, we're a few guys short. He had all the resources at his disposal, but we're still struggling. And if he allows that excuse culture to come in, it feeds into the players, and it seems that the chairman and everyone else and the chief exec are also buying into that.
See, you made a statement there, Miff, and you said the word regress. That is it from top to bottom as a club at Celtic, right? And it's been happening since for the past 18 months, right? And you can go, I'm saying 18 months, 2 years since Brendan Rodgers left. And I think, again, people could say, well, again, obviously Brendan Rodgers left and Neil Lennon only gets over the line in the league, obviously won the league last year and had a good run in Europe. But there was there were signs there at the time. Something, it just wasn't quite right. We kicked into gear this like in January time last year after the defeat against Rangers again, and we managed obviously get in just obviously win the league. Obviously COVID obviously kicked in at that point as well. But this season kicks off and the regression has been clear to see. It's frightening actually. You look at, I said actually looking back today and said, and actually just looking at timelines, right? Kilmarnock, for example, start of the season on that plastic park. You think to yourself, you concede points, silly penalty by Christopher Julian. Again, you can see it there. And again, you think to yourself, why don't we go 3-5-2 again? And then it goes on and on. Finish Farros, and he comes out, and Neil Lennon has a go at the team. Then he retracts his statement a couple of days later, and it just festers and festers and festers, right? And in context, right, see this season, this is massive fucking for all Celtic fans, a massive season for us. See if things weren't working, right? And we were all saying at the start of the season, it's going to get better. It's going to get better.
Yeah.
Ayeti scoring at Tannadice again. We're getting over the line. It's just going to just come together. It's going to get better. But something was fundamentally wrong, and it's been fundamentally wrong for a long, long time. And there's been, as I said, because of the context of the season, for the board's inactivity, then because you obviously, again, a chief exec must have his finger on the pulse in terms of what's happening at the training ground. And for the again, lack of activities, it's absolutely criminal. And for not to have a plan B as a consequence of that is absolutely frightening. It's just again regression from top to bottom.
We've spoken about that in previous shows, Chris, about the downsizing across the board, and you could go through it, and you could start with the management team, of course. You know, looking at Neil Lennon, the two guys next to him, as well as the players, and right across the park. When you look at the Invincible season, which wasn't all that long ago, and you talk about the Dembele's and the Armstrongs and even the Patrick Roberts and various different players, obviously Kieran Tierney and guys of that ilk. We're nowhere near that at this moment.
Sinclair, who we managed at the door as well. And listen, I know Sinclair's form hadn't been great, but is he another guy? I mean, he's the type of guy you would be wanting to bring off the bench in recent games. You know, you'd think he's easily justified a place in that squad. But one thing, looking back, you don't want to look too far back, you don't want to rewrite history, but last season when we won the nine, Edward's form was a huge, huge part of that. Almost him himself played a massive part in getting us over the line a lot of games. And you need that, obviously, you need that title winning team, you need somebody to be a standout. This season, that the genius of Edward hasn't been readily available to us at certain points, and no doubt we struggled because of that, and anything we have done well this season we've done when Edward's been in the team and firing, and sometimes that, you know, maybe that has papered over the cracks of last year, that there has been inherent issues within the squad, how it's been managed and the way that the team's setting up, but we've got away with it because we've had a genuinely class player playing at his absolute peak. Whereas this season, he's been badly affected, but I think he was unsettled and then he'd get COVID. So there's mitigating circumstances for it this year. Plus, I think he's playing within a team that's broken, effectively. Yeah. The issue for me remains that when we've discussed this and I've seen it discussed online is that if Lennon isn't going to walk, it's on the board then to remove him.
Absolutely.
And they don't seem capable of doing that.
See, if you look at that team, right, and as I said, the board or the chief executive must have his finger on the pulse and what's happening within the dressing room. It's common knowledge within the football world. That is, they know what's kind of going on in their circumstances for whatever reason or what's happening. Celtic know, but something is festering and something is definitively not right, and they're not doing anything about it, which is, as I said, there should have been kind of this season. It doesn't matter if what season it was, but this is the biggest season, arguably, of our lifetimes.
Certainly in modern times, yep. No doubt.
And Celtic have not got a plan B.
But even if you take that away, as Tino said in the intro, Dyla, Mowbray,
Rodgers, whoever.
Even Rodgers, I don't think many would. I think many Celtic managers would.
And all the more reason to think
many games would they won? What was that, 6 games in?
6 and 12 in 2021 alone.
That's horrendous.
Nobody survives that form, which does beg the question, just to your point, Chris, what is going on that we don't know about? Do you know, is there something there? And is there something that will come out in the wash at the end of this season or whatever, and you'll go, right, that makes sense? Because right now, none of it makes sense.
But see, this is the thing. I mean, Lennon was even quoted last week as saying, we've got mystery excuses that we can't tell you, but, you know.
That helps absolutely no one.
What the hell's that? Listen, if there's stuff going on that we don't know about, come and tell us so that we can make our minds up on that.
Because the longer they don't tell us, we fill in the blanks ourselves. And folk like ourselves on the podcast and others, because there's so much mystery, we're trying to plug that gap.
Take away the podcast. People will be out there waiting to see if they're going to renew their season tickets. And again, it's not that entitlement. I don't mean it like that. Like, oh, we're not winning, so we don't want to go and watch Celtic. This is about the Celtic that I'm watching, the level of performance that I'm seeing for the players, you know, just so disjointed that it's unbelievable. The longer that goes on, the more baffling the support of Lennon becomes, and the more that supporters will generally just fill in the blanks, like you say, to say, right, well, what must be going on then? So why is that happening? You're second guessing everything. And I think that's why the whole Steve Clarke thing seems to be getting a bit of traction, is because it's the only thing that really makes sense that they're waiting for a guy in the summer, because why else would you be sitting watching that? I honestly think the fans would take anybody being appointed, and I mean MD, on a short-term basis, as long as it meant the removal of Neil Lennon.
I completely agree with that. And actually, for a long time when his name was first touted, I could not get excited about Steve Clarke at all. And I would bite your hand off to get Steve Clarke in just now.
Imagine having a defence it could defend.
True.
that would be a novelty.
I also have my concerns with Steve Clarke as well. We've got to remember, Steve Clarke, Scotland manager, first major tournament in 20-plus years. Steve Clarke's not going to be in the position to come in. Even if that is the case, going to be in the position to come into the Celtic team until July time.
Yep.
It's critical for us in terms of there's a rebuild job needing to be done now. Mm-hmm. The plans need to be put in place. And see if it is Stevie Clarke, and again, there's contact behind the scenes, he's not going to be any better in the position until after that point to actually come into Celtic and actually make a mark. And by that time, you might could argue again it's actually too late because you're actually involved in European qualifiers.
The other thing that I was going to point out about Clarke, not just to kind of rain in everybody's parade, but Clarke had actually come out with quite a considerable amount of criticism towards Scottish football and the sectarianism that sits within it.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure he would want to put himself in a position where he was then in charge of one half of the Glasgow teams, which is naturally going to make you a fairly hefty target. Although you could argue taking the Scotland job kind of does that as well, in the sense that if he's spoken out about it, he immediately becomes a target by remaining within Scottish football, which he shouldn't be, by the way. I'm not advocating that's just need to deal with that as part of life, but you kind of do, I suppose.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily think it should be taken as given that he would accept a job if offered.
No, true. But again, it's just one other name that's getting thrown about just now, because we don't have any other answers and nobody's communicating. And nobody's even come out, you know, this morning to say results haven't been good enough, but you know what? There's 8 games left. It doesn't make sense to change. It's going to be Neil Lennon till May, and then we'll announce news further when we have it. Something like, just a holding statement to keep us at
bay. But on that point though, they've made so many generic holding statements leading us down the garden path with the January review that wasn't really a review. They just thought they would chuck that out there because I think, again, they genuinely thought, oh, we'll go on a win and running. We'll be close enough where nobody will really bother about it. Yet the fans were saying, right, okay, what's happening? The only news that's going to appease Celtic fans is news that Neil Lennon's left his job.
That's the first piece of news, but that's what I'm saying. Even if it's a statement tomorrow to say Neil Lennon will be moving on in the summer, we thank him for all his efforts, all that nonsense, and then you can at least breathe a sigh of relief that it's going to be a change of scene next year.
It would need to be in relation to that.
Definitely. Yeah, so it leads us kind of nicely, it's not the right word at this moment in time, but it leads us on to a point about the ongoing situation just now and the long-term damage it's doing to the club, both on and off the park. So we've spoken briefly there about the fact that some people who we all know, about, you know, friends of Oliver's who have been season ticket holders for, you know, 15 and 20 plus years, absolute diehard Celtic fans, sensible guys and gals and whatever else, who won't be renewing next year if the status quo remains. That's criminal. There's guys I know who you would never have heard that in any time, even, you know, during the leaner times when, you know, we weren't trophy laden as we are at the moment. And that in itself is really, really worrying. And it's worrying for us as fans, but how worrying should that be for the club and the powers that be that are making those decisions?
I think extremely concerning, first and foremost. I think it's extremely concerning. And I think, and again, seeing the message I'm getting this morning again with my fellow Celtic supporters, is that we need ahead of us. And I'm talking about the board. We are one here. Again, we all wanted best for Celtic here. The board need to get ahead of us and say, as you say, communication here. What is the situation? This is what's happening, basically. But they're not. There's apathy towards the Celtic support. Now, that's a strong word to use again, towards the Celtic support. But I think there is a genuine like that at the moment. And as I said, it's just, as I said, the longer it goes on, the longer it festers, the longer the damage is going to become. And that's what I'm talking about, my concerns with regards to Steve Clark. I see if that's the case, let's get behind it and let's go with it, right? But we need to understand what the situation is before, you know, talking about season books again, the lack of concern, lack of investment in the club, but it all has a domino effect. And yeah, as I said, that's the reason why they really need to get ahead of this as much as possible. And there's stuff that's coming out at the moment, they're talking about contractual situation now with Neil Lennon, which I find very surprising itself.
Nah, I don't.
And that's what I'm saying. I just find that quite surprising as well, because I don't get that either. I really don't. But again, all filters back to the board. The board need to give a message.
Absolutely. And you know, if it's a money thing with Neil Lennon, get Neil Lennon's agent in the room and just thrash it out. Find out the number.
I seen a few of the boys last night want to start a GoFundMe. I think you'd get a few contributions fairly rapid.
See, the thing is, my friend Tino as well, see, talking about actually Neil Lennon as well, there's people who can criticise Neil Lennon at the moment, Celtic fans, about being a Celtic man. You're seeing this quite a lot. Neil Lennon being a Celtic man and should have walked away months ago. Neil Lennon's also a human being as well. Again, he's apparently on £1.5 million. But you're talking about the contractual situation. There's a compromise there. The board could come to Neil Lennon and say, listen, it's not working, Neil. Isn't it working? What's the figure? That's how these things
exactly
work.
Exactly that. Thrash it out. It's the modern game. And I know a lot of people are saying, surely he should walk. Surely he should walk. If he's a Celtic man, he'd walk. Neil Lennon is absolutely died in the world Celtic man. And I won't ever entertain anyone that says otherwise, despite the situation. Modern managers at big clubs do not walk.
Yep.
Because it's criminal, you know, in terms of, it's on the board to have offered him this contract, whether it's 1.5 or 500 grand or whatever he gets annually. Peter Lowell and someone else has saw fit to offer him that contract. And it's also their job to negotiate out of that contract if they feel, which they certainly should do, that he's not the man to take us forward. That's a business thing that should be taken completely out of Neil Lennon's hands. It's not Neil Lennon's job just now to make it easier for them. And I wonder if they're just having a bit of a Mexican standoff between him and Peter Lowell, and it's who blinks first.
If that's the case, though, that just makes the club look even more amateur, that it's a kind of standoff between two egos in a situation where it's been so thoroughly at the detriment of the team. The performances have got so bad that you wouldn't even call that a shock result last night. I think Sky were trying to kind of get the big in, but I think most Celtic fans watching it would have said, you know what, faffed a bit with the ball, we've missed chances, we've conceded a goal for a set piece. That is anything but shocking this season. So that's what it's became. I think it goes back to the point in how the fan protests were interpreted by the board. Oh, that's not the way you go about things. Or if you can't support us at our worst, don't support us at our best, and all that birthday care nonsense. This comes down to the fact that there has been a genuine groundswell for change. The fans' voice has been activated but not listened to. That's what's then creating that disconnect. That's what then creates that apathy from the supporters to the club, but because they're feeling that for the board to them. Social media may have been seen as a minor inconvenience by, you know, the powers that be in most football clubs, maybe even say 10 years ago. It most certainly isn't now. It's the voice for the majority of teams' supports. Now, don't get me wrong, if you went with everything that you've seen on some social media sites,
I've seen your profile, man.
You'd be gone mental. But and a lot of people that I'm connected with whose opinions I respect, and even journalists and you know, pundits, respected pundits, are saying time's up. And yet the only people who do not believe that, unbelievably, are Neil Lennon and the Celtic board.
But my question is, do they not believe that, or is there a reason, as we've discussed?
You can only make that conclusion. They've backed him and backed him and backed him.
Nobody who knows football, Neil Lennon included, and Peter Lowell at least knows football to an extent, nobody can look at this situation and think the status quo is good to go. But again, you know, just talking about this long-term damage, so there's damage being caused right now between the club and the fans. And for some fans, maybe an older generation, even older than you, Miff, We'll say that's enough in the party's over.
Sorry, was that Tino? Sorry. I was having a drink of my coffee there.
So they'll maybe just decide that's enough for them and they'll stick to watching games in the telly, but they'll give up their books. And that's tragic if that were the case. You've also got to look at some of the damage that's been caused just now to the players. Even looking at it in a business context, you know, the I don't know, 24, 25 odd first team players in Celtic squad just now, they are assets if you're looking at it from a financial point of view, but they're diminishing assets. And you've got guys who are clearly talented, you know, whether it be Ayers and Edwards and even Ryan Christie, who's taking a torrid time at the moment. These guys are worth X million, but that value is plummeting as each and every game passes by. So even from a business point of view, Celtic have got an asset sheet which is crashing at the moment due to what's going on in the dugout and on the training field. So even from that point of view, they need to stop that rot somewhere, but they just seem very, very reluctant to make any moves of that nature.
And on that, my concern with regards, again, we talk about regression again, actual individual players, you're absolutely right, you know, it does, it's having a detrimental effect, and again, in every way, performance-wise, obviously value of players as well. As I said, this all comes back down to, again, that's the management, this comes down to management, and again, management starts from the top and goes right down to the very bottom in terms of actually the playing personnel itself, and I keep saying it, regression's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. You've Odds and Edward, again, this time last year, you're talking about, again, multi-million pound moves to all teams all Europe. Christopher Ayer, AC Milan, talking about with that. And you're looking at going, it's a head-scratcher. Well, a lot of players, Ryan Christie, Premiership player, no anymore. Again, I look at Ryan Christie, for example, and I don't mean be critical of Ryan Christie, because as he is, getting it tight at the moment in regards to obviously his performances. But Ryan Christie is a good player. And again, I know I'll probably take a bit of criticism of that, but Ryan Christie beginning last season, Ryan Christie is a good player and they're not being managed. They're not being coached, let's just say, properly. And it's having a detrimental effect from top to bottom.
Yeah. I mean, just in the whole point of Christie, I'd say last year, Christie's absolutely fundamental, all the good things that Celtic do. And it was very unfortunate, the chances that he missed, that he should have scored. He'll know that, we know that. But We as a team, the way that we play, any good things that we do generally come through him and Edward. I know Turnbull's done it more latterly if he's been introduced into the team, but even going back to the start of the season, Christie was kind of the one creative force that he was involved in assists, goals. I get why Christie's taking it tight, just because of the, you know, the speculative efforts that he keeps out. He seems quite wasteful at times in possession, but I think it's unfair that he's been singled out so much because I'll go back to the point I made weeks ago. You might be good at your job and you might be a self-motivated individual, but if you don't have belief in the people that are managing you, it's very, very hard to give your best.
See, just on that as well, my friend, I've just actually looking at the stats throughout the season, right, just earlier on today at lunchtime. In Celtic's setup, right, it was going actually through the formation from game to game. That's again the thing I was looking at. Celtic have started 4-2-3-1, 3-5-2 are now in a diamond, right? Yep. And you're talking about, again, in terms of players, I think we can probably agree up with yourself that probably David Turnbull has probably been the player of the season thus far, you probably say.
Him with IR closely behind.
Yeah, probably. And I feel that David Turnbull's the only one that looks comfortable in that Celtic team in terms of where he's actually playing positionally. Ryan Christie suffers because he's not 100%.
Not
playing in the right position. And the same could be said for a lot of players. Last night, I'm looking at Tom Rogic and I'm looking at Callum McGregor last night. I don't know where they were supposed to be playing. And Celtic suffer as well, again, in terms of creativity and width. Again, I said this to you the other week, Tino. We struggle to actually create anything. Everything goes through the middle. And it just goes right, actually. That starts at the beginning of the season because there is no structure. There is no thinking process behind the scenes as if to say, right, what are we playing here? Are we playing 3-5-2? Are we playing? It's just switching a whim.
And that should all be agreed and set upon in your pre-season. You know, you work for X weeks of the players, maybe 5-6 weeks, maybe a bit shorter now with European qualifiers, but you've got a lot of time to say, you know, this is what I as a coach believe in, Neil Lennon, and this is what we're going to play this year, 3-5-2, 4-4-2, 4-6-0, you name it, whatever he wants. And the players then need to buy into that, and then they need to work and work and work and repeat it until they nail it and they're all very comfy. And as you rightfully say, you can't see it. I mean, we stumbled into the diamond against Lille that night when Turnbull and Soro got the nod, and Hazard and goals, if I remember. And
a false nine with a six upside down.
So we've stuck with that for the most part since then. But you're fudging players in that formation. We talked about it last night, myself and Miff, in the post-match. You've got five centre midfielders playing for Celtic right now. Three of them are tens, which is Christie, Turnbull and Rogic. But they're all over the place. McGregor on the left, Rogic on the right, whatever else.
Like Chris says, you're effectively get Rogic playing right mid and McGregor playing left mid. Although a narrow right and left mid, offering no really a lot other than getting the ball and having three opposition players swarming around about them because they're in an area of the pitch where they're not going to do any damage. You know, it's just they're playing almost with their back to goal in the halfway line. It's just nowhere those players want to be.
And then you get folk like me and other folk saying, geez, Callum McGregor's murder just now, isn't he? No wonder he's murder. He's played a mile out his natural position and where he's played for years.
Well, I totally agree that I think the structure in which they've been asked to play leaves a lot to be desired. However, I would say the application of the players, though, as I said last night, I called them a disgrace, which, on hindsight, was maybe a wee bit of emotion involved in that, lads.
You feel a remorse?
Maybe a wee bit. No, I'm not full of remorse. No. Far from that. I do think they need to carry the can for being responsible for the product that we're watching on the park. You know, whilst there's no discernible pattern of play structure, as you mentioned, Chris, you know, what's the plan here? Is it try and get the ball to Eddie and hope something happens? Try and get the ball to Turnbull, hope something happens? That kind of seems to be it.
Well, that is a key question at this moment in time. You know, Neil Lennon has got it in the neck and then some this year and will continue to do so until he moves on from Celtic. But how much responsibility do the players need to be taking at this moment in time, despite the fact that we can clearly see the coaching team and the management team isn't working or, you know, the system and the setup isn't working right. And the fact that, you know, it's understandable to an extent that players will be lacking confidence and belief in themselves. But I still think we're entitled to ask for a wee bit more than the players are currently giving us.
See, on that, when you look back, okay, it was getting brought up earlier on about Ferencváros. You come back at Ferencváros and Neil Lennon has come out and publicly criticised the players at that point. There's some that want to be here and they need to deal with that. 3 days later, he retracts that statement in terms of saying, no, but it's a happy camp. Neil Lennon tested the players at that point and upset a lot of players. It was what you can tell. And again, a lot of players I feel as if have checked out since then. We've had Olivier Ncham, who's checked out for a long time.
Yep.
He's obviously away. I think the same could be said for Odson Edouard. And there's a few others in there I could probably argue.
And Frimpong obviously wanted a bit for a time.
Absolutely. Yep. So again, that begins to fester in a squad because you're going to train in every single day. I think again they've got to carry the can. I totally agree with that. But again, it just keeps saying festering. It just absolutely festered since that point. And again, if the players don't buy into the manager's ideas or again just the message he's trying to get across, then you're just going to just come to an absolute dead end.
And Matthew gave the point about, you know, getting into your place of work, whether you work at Lennox Town or an office in the town or whatever, if it's not a nice place to be, if there's a tension and a toxic environment and anything else of that nature, you're going to get the resulting performances from that. Guys cannot be firing on all cylinders. And actually, I think out with, as you mentioned, Chris, Turnbull has been on pretty decent form since he came in. Ayer has kind of stood up to be counted when it counted. But that aside, there's nobody else you could say has hit any sort of form this year. Nobody across the board.
And again, it goes back to the point that the manager stood and watched Turnbull in training for 4 months before he put him in the team, which I think is just the most damning indictment of his management, is that he clearly just didn't have a clue how to manage a squad.
I mean, has Neil Lennon got away with it to an extent throughout his managerial career because of some of the individuals? You mentioned Edouard, right? Edouard is a class player and we'll see that in years to come and he'll go on to bigger and better
things.
I know
who you're going to say. Gary Hooper.
Let it go, man. Talented player as he was. I'm going to say about, you've got Edouard at the top end doing his thing. He had Fraser Foster last year. And he's a phenomenal goalkeeper. And he's probably the best goalkeeper Scotland has seen in many, many years. And time after time, he came out with the big saves, whether it was in the European games or the Rangers games or whatever it may be. He offered you something really different. And if you have a guy like Edouard or a Dembele or whatever at the top end of your park and Foster at the back, you will win more games than you lose. It's just basic facts. And even if you are inept tactically, you'll get away with that to an extent. And I wonder if Neil Lennon, particularly when he took over from Brendan Rodgers at first, has struck it lucky because all he had to do was edges over the line with some very talented players. But now it's come a cropper because of his deficiencies.
Neil Lennon came out and said after Brendan Rodgers left, continuity. He just said to keep the wheels digging, keep the wheels moving, to keep wheels in motion. And then that's what happened. He basically got us over the line. He then tried to again and then obviously make his stamp on it at that point. And I just feel as if it's square pegs and round holes. I think it's been like that for a wee while. And I think you're absolutely right. Again, having Fraser Foster in there was again a great move for Neil Lennon. That thought again the following season, having him in there, because again, we've seen ourselves basically single-handedly won the League Cup final for us. Again, it obviously accumulated points as well in terms of penalty saves and just being Fraser Foster. But that has been a detriment. But at the same time, again, you can see some of the signings we've actually made this season as well has been to a detriment as well, and I include the goalkeeping situation as well, but some of the rest of them as well. And again, Neil Lennon and his coaching staff and his scouting team have got to carry the can for that as well. So
I agree with that, but you also really don't know at Celtic who's making the final call on players, and we've touched on that before. And if Neil Lennon's saying, I want Shane Duffy, I want Albin Ayeti, I want this goalkeeper from Greece and all this kind of stuff, if he's picked them out as his men, then absolutely he should take responsibility for that. I don't believe that's the case at Celtic. We've seen it, we've talked about it before. Marion Shved getting thrust upon Brendan Rodgers tells you all you need to know about how the signing has been in years gone by.
See, when you just add all that together, it's pretty depressing, isn't it? Really?
That's where we find ourselves.
How much is that in Barca? Well, Comala. I mean, geez, oh, man.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry, I'll tell you.
You're like, oh, lads. Oh. You really need Lennon out of there and a change of structure above the team. Like we've said before, but this is a problem. Because we don't have any new information to go on other than still continually getting served up the same nonsense. I think it's safe to call it nonsense. Week in, week out, with nothing appearing like it's going to change. No real improvement in performances, even when we're winning games. You know, it's kind of same level of performance. The way we played against County was kind of the same as the games that came before. You've won some games, you've lost some games. It's hey ho, this is the way it is now. Accept it and move on.
You find Celtic playing in such a way just now where it is. It's a bit of a toss of the coin. You could put out that performance last night against Ross County, against a Motherwell or somebody else, and possibly get the 3 points. But we're just in such a way that we've spoken previously about the lack of identity for this team. You know, Brendan Rodgers' team played in a certain way. Everyone knew their roles and responsibilities, and it ties into the square pegs and round holes of what we're seeing in this current squad. And people either have been played out of position or just aren't comfy, you know, in the setup across the park. And when that's the case, you're going to get, you know, defeats like last night. And Celtic, as I say, will always, generally speaking, in the Scottish leagues, win more than they lose. But we're picking up far too many losses and draws because it's a bit of a 50-50 in this moment in time.
See what you're saying there, Tino, as well. What you're doing, you see it's a team of individuals. They're 100% a team of individuals. And I think it was around about the Christmas time as well, and just we're talking about kind of tactics and team, that Kevin Wilson came out and was asked the question as part of another podcast about what about tactics, Neil Lennon tactics, and it was pretty poor in terms of the response as well. So the tactics are only discussed on a Friday night before the game and a Saturday type stuff. That's quite clear. Again, in terms of tactically.
Joe Ledley done much the same on Soccer AM.
And so, again, it's just that's quite worrying, as I said, because modern day football is much more than that. It is much, much more than that.
Even just to look at a very current example, the goal we conceded last night to Ross County, umpteenth time we've lost from a set piece, and then Neil Lennon comes out and says something along the lines of, we're just not learning, you know, they're not picking up, they're not brave enough, whatever it may be. That is absolutely his sole responsibility, or him and his coach's responsibility. I'm just going to tell you something very basic here. Scott Brown is 5'8". Diego Laxalt is 5'8". Jordan White, last night's goal scorer, is 6'3". Do you need me to go on about my point here? Zonal Markin, two of the shortest guys in the park up against this man Mountain. No wonder he's scoring at that set piece. It's baffling how we don't just say, Aya, you pick him up, I'll pick up somebody a bit more my height and we'll see how we go. It's just basic stuff. And this is the kind of stuff where, seriously, amateur football across the globe, they'd be saying, go like for like, big guy for big guy, and we'll take care of it. And it's so puzzling.
So on that again, you're talking about Neil Lennon, just see in terms of your quote, right? I specifically got the quote here. Not learning for set plays, weakness all season, and also he said they can't change it now. Mm-hmm. So if you're that manager making that admission that again that's what the problem is. It's been a weakness for a long time and you can't change it. You're openly putting your hands up to say, sorry, gents, I'm not the right man for the job.
I'm not capable here of solving this problem. I mean, it's amateur across the board. I mean, speaking of amateurs, Smith has just let his phone go off mid-podcast. It's rank amateurism
ten podcasts in?
It's been a good run.
Reactions.
Been a good run.
I think I've done well. Cheers, lads. All the best.
I was beginning to panic. I had to check my phone now.
Oh man, it's been a bad couple of days, lads. It's been a bad couple.
But yeah, you know, if Neil Lennon is coming out with those kind of quotes, he's also said after, I think, the second Sparta Prague game, I've lost track of where it was, but basically saying, you know, I don't know if I'll be here, it's not up to me, there's other people who make those decisions. And then the most recent one last night, Chris, about I can't change this, I don't have the ability.
Well, much like me leaving my phone off silent, it's complacency. That's what it is.
That's what it comes down to.
It is though. The complacency, almost the arrogance of saying, the opposition have a tall striker, but we don't need to worry about that. You're Celtic. We can just put the two small guys on him because, you know, Ross County won't have enough quality to pick him out. Oh, lo and behold, they do. You need to approach every game giving the opposition respect, but if you're going to play the game by saying, right, we are a better team, then, you know, structure the team in such a way where they're going to control the game and let them express themselves so that they can show they are a better team. To my mind, trying to shoehorn four number 10s across a midfield is not the way to do that. And that has been shown. We just seem unable to find the right mix, the right balance. And the fact that we're now in February of the season, the players that have been brought in, Duffy, Barkas, Ajeti, Kamala, don't feature. They don't feature. There's just something fundamentally wrong within the club. Loads of things are going wrong, and it has to start. The rebuild has to start with Lennon being removed.
Yeah, and those four guys you mentioned there, they're all fit and ready to go. You know, these aren't injured or whatever, or coming back from COVID. Those four guys are available for selection, but for a variety of reasons, mostly form and just...
You see the head of hair that Kamala's grew for the last start that he had? I mean, he's got a full barnet now.
Pretty impressive.
I'm jealous myself.
It's a shame this isn't a video post. The fans would know what they're saying.
Oh no, we don't want that. We don't want that.
Definitely
my
not.
My crabbit face, man. If you think a sound crabbit, you want to see this coop in the room. Man.
So we know exactly where we are in terms of the season and what's happening. We know how bad it's been. And I suppose it may be prevalent to look at what next in the short term. I mean, the remainder of this season and then obviously further beyond. So we've got 8 games to go, 3 games before the split. So that's Aberdeen on Saturday coming, the 27th of February. We've then got Dundee United on the 7th of March. And Rangers on the 21st of March, and the scene has been set, obviously, that Rangers could potentially win the league at Celtic Park, which would just really put the icing on the cake for the season that we've had so far. What do you see happening in those 8 games, Miff? Can you offer any insight as to what that might look like?
If the past 4-5 months is in to go by, then I think we're in for a fairly poor time. I don't see any reason why this squad of players that have underachieved and this backroom team and management team that have underachieved so markedly this season are going to suddenly improve for the last 8 games. I think we just need to try and secure second place. That's really it. And hopefully maybe manage to beat Rangers. That's all there is to play for.
And I think Hibs are closer to us than we are to Rangers. So securing second place is far from a foregone conclusion. I think we're 12 points ahead of Hibs, but they've got an extra game to play. So could be 9 in theory, which is pretty worrying.
Absolutely. Again, the way that I see this, the way season going is the way that's just happened in the past few games. I think we'll go through a few games because we've got individual class there in terms of we have got ability and again within the players themselves, but again, ability only gets you so far. So I think you're going to go through games and win games. And we've not been convincing, by the way. We have not been convincing, even though again, as I said, we've just scored a few goals in the past few weeks. It's not been convincing in any stretch of the imagination, and that's probably the way that I see the season going, the way we're going to fall out, because we have got class and individuals, but don't play as a team.
Yeah, we've got it in fits and starts, and we've seen that, as you say, in the last few weeks. We've had 20 minutes here, 15 minutes there, maybe a half hour here. Can't remember the last time I seen 90 minutes of Celtic and thought, that'll do it. That's decent, that's what we're after. And that's just not what you get from this Celtic team and this Neil Lennon Celtic team. I think of the 8 games remaining, he'll probably win 3 or 4 and rumble through the other 3 or 4 drawing and losing.
I totally agree, but I just want to just come back again something that Miff was just saying in terms of respect, and I just want to bring it back to the point we're making. John Hughes came out last night and actually told us how he was actually going to set up, and like every team, again, dogged team, especially down at the end of the league, they're going to be hard to beat. So what he's saying, he came out, and again, he's basically said, we're going to try 4 Celtic wide, and then, as I said, and make sure that nothing's coming through the middle. Celtic played everything through the middle, and Celtic have been lucky in the past, I'd say 10 years, in terms of your fullbacks as well. So if you're going to be playing that modern day football, the expectation is your fullbacks have got to go up and contribute. Our fullbacks again, we've been Emilio Azagiri, Kieran Tierney, left hand side. We've had Adam Matthews and Michael Lustig has been good players on the right hand side as well for us over the past 10 years. See, you look at our fullbacks, and again, in terms of creativity, and again, just going back at last night, and again, I'm not maybe too critical of John Joe Kenny because I've only been in a few weeks. Contributes again, the contribution was very, very poor, and everything went in Ross County's favour in terms of saying John Hughes is saying I'm going to be hard to beat, and Celtic tried to play right through the middle.
We've played right in at their hands, and I made that point because you're naturally going to be narrow for two reasons. It's your shape, first and foremost. The diamond is a narrow formation.
Yep.
And you've got guys who, by default, are central players. So whether it's Rogic or McGregor, they naturally gravitate to the centre of the park. So therefore, by default, Black's out on the left and John Joe Kenny on your right are your only outlet. And Ross County and any club should be delighted if that's your two crossers. There was several occasions where it came to Black's out. He lacks the confidence, first of all, to trust himself to put a good ball in. So he takes the extra touch. And at least on 2 occasions, he's floated over the bar with his cross. And then he looks down and blames the turf and all that kind of stuff. And it's just not good enough. And I'm not sure if Kenny get any balls in the box, actually. So, you know, we're relying on two guys who just don't have it in them to give us good natural width.
But as a manager, he's got to look at that and say, right, in terms of you know that that's going to be the case. That's how they're going to play. Right, so how do we counteract that? And there's no idea. Again, there's no creative thought to that. Neil Lennon, you could hear him on actually on the touchline last night, trying to be again, trying to encourage him to play again quicker on the ball, try to be a wee bit more kind of proactive. And it's that's not turning in. You get the ball moving quicker type stuff, but the shape was again just within the just in the suit. And
again, it feels like it's the kind of shouts you get down the park.
Absolutely.
You know, I need more urgency, do this, do that. And it's kind of cajoling guys, but not actually giving them tactical instructions. And even if you look across the league at guys like John Hughes or a Jim Goodwin at St Mirren, any one of these guys just now would seem just a million miles of an improvement on what we're currently getting. These guys aren't geniuses. I think, you know, Yogi and you know the other guys, they've got something to offer it. But even just as a stopgap, they would come in and be an instant improvement on what we've got. And actually, I find it quite... I've never said the word baffling so much in all my life as I have in the last 10 weeks or so. But I find it baffling that Neil Lennon isn't up to speed with that side of the game. It's just like football has forgotten about Neil Lennon and folk of his ilk, and he's just dug his heels in and decided to stay in a bygone era where it's all about blood and thunder and leaving the boot in and being aggressive and, you know, roll up the sleeves kind of football. But there's a real tactical side of the game that he seems to have ignored for so long and got away with it at times, but that now has gone
I think that's in a nutshell, Tino. I think that's in a nutshell when it comes to Lennon.
He beat Barcelona once, you know.
So I hear.
Yeah.
Can't I remember that one?
But even I was sitting next to you, Chris, at the time. But even on that note, he has shown some tactical savvy on that occasion. What was it, 9 years ago, November 2012, which makes you think he must have had some sort of awareness of that side of the game, albeit it was a defensive approach on that occasion. But you think the fact that he's you know making that taking that approach at the time, you'd say he must be tuned in, clued up on tactics. And that's perhaps the last time he went out and done something tactically, at face value. He just seems to hope for the best now. And I think we spoke as well, Miff, about the fact that he seems to just go out and say, forget the opposition. We are Celtic. We are better than them. And it'll take care of itself. And that will work out on some occasions in Scottish football. But when it comes to the crunch and when it comes to Europe and now, when it comes to Rangers games, it's just not enough, is it?
No, absolutely not. As I said, that's a big concern for me at the moment. As I said, I just feel as if it's just a team of individuals. And as I said, it's just unfortunate. Again, it's just there is no end to this. Again, there is no thought process. Again, from top to bottom, and it's
there should be. That's the thing. There should be action for the board. They can bring an end to this if they choose. And that's the question that the fans are asking just now: is why are we continually being subjected to this waiting on the basis, of the performances on the park and the results achieved this year? There's been individually about 8 or 9 different events which are worthy of the manager being removed from his position. He hasn't been. So why so insistent on Lennon? It goes back to that question you begged at the very start of the podcast, why is Neil Lennon being subject to different treatment than what any other manager would be subject to in this situation? Yeah.
And I think at this moment in time, without the facts or the communication from the club, we just don't know. Nobody knows. I think there is a reason, but that'll come out in the wash at some point, hopefully, in the very near future. Just a final point to put to you both, just a very kind of quick yes, no kind of answer. Will Neil Lennon see out the season, Chris?
Yes.
Miff?
No.
We'll leave it at that and we'll discuss more in more
detail.
I just
need to believe that.
Just to help you get a sleep at night. So, at time of recording at least, the saga continues in this shambolic season for Celtic. Just when you think it can't get any worse, they go and deliver new levels of nonsense barely recognisable from the all-conquering Celtic of not so long ago. What the next 8 games will bring is anyone's guess, but we'll be here either way to try and make some sense of it all. But thanks as always to Miff, thanks to Chris for his debut on tonight's episode of the Celtic Exchange, and finally, thanks to you for listening. Remember, you can now listen to us on Apple, Spotify and Google Podcasts, or by searching for the Celtic Exchange wherever you listen. We'll see you again next time.